broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
It is the first day of June, the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the memorial of St. Justin Martyr on this Thursday. We give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us, Morning Glory, on this June 1st. I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our godly counsel, Father Bjorn Lundberg, will lead us in prayer this morning. Father?
From the Breviary, O God, who through the folly of the cross wondrously taught St. Justin Martyr the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ, grant us through his intercession that having rejected deception and error, we may become steadfast in the faith through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And Gloria helps us begin with wisdom from Mother Angelica.
How good God is to give me his Holy Spirit to supply what I need to strive for holiness. I must not stray to the right or left, but keep to the middle of the road, straight as an arrow, to arrive at a humble detachment from myself. This will keep me from despair and from presumption.
We are in the middle of the Novena to the Holy Spirit, of course, with the Feast of Pentecost on Sunday. 2 minutes after the hour, in the news, Planned Parenthood's newly released annual report shows the abortion giant made $77 million in profit this year. The report covers the fiscal year, I should say, from July 2015 through June 2016. Even though national statistics show a shrinking number of abortions overall, Catherine Glenn Foster, president and CEO of Americans United for Life, says Planned Parenthood is getting more than its share of the business.
While Planned Parenthood is trying to claim credit for the lowering abortion number in America, the lowering total number of abortions, they're grabbing a bigger and bigger piece of the abortion pie.
U.S. Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers says Congress must defund Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood is an organization that is involved in abortions, and so this is our effort to bring transparency and accountability to this organization.
The House-passed health care bill defunding Planned Parenthood for the next year is now being considered by the U.S. Senate. Pro-life activist and citizen journalist David DeLeiden is set to appear this month in California court. He's under a court order not to show undercover Planned Parenthood videos or name the people in them. Ken Cuccinelli, former attorney general for the state of Virginia, thinks protecting people's privacy should not prevent damaging information in those videos to be made public.
Personal privacy is one thing. Sharing information that has been collected is quite another, and that's quite an extraordinary order to restrain, from a speech perspective, David DeLeiden from sharing any of that information. I don't know that that's going to hold up as it goes up through an appellate process.
And Gloria, as a state senator, Cuccinelli sponsored pro-life legislation in Virginia. He was a guest on EWTN News Nightly last night.
Well, the thing that I was thinking about is the videos that he shot were at a conference that open to anybody that would, you know, come into the room. But also the reason his lawyer put out more recent videos was, again, because there was another court case where the information was made public through the court case. And so his lawyer's like, well, since it's been made public in this court case, we can go ahead and put these back up. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this this order for him to not show it and his contempt of court charge.
As Cuccinelli pointed out, it probably will not hold up through the appellate process. President Trump sends signals he plans to pull out of the 2015 Paris Agreement on climate change. He says the issue is deeply dividing his administration.
I'm hearing from a lot of people, both ways, both ways, believe me.
Tech giant Elon Musk says he'll leave President Trump's business advisory board if the U.S. pulls out of the agreement. Democratic Senator Kamala Harris is sharply critical.
It is highly irresponsible of this administration to pull out of those accords. All people need clean air to breathe. all people need to be able to drink clean water.
The president's announcement came after he welcomed Vietnam's prime minister to the White House on Wednesday. ExxonMobil's executive board is voted down by a shareholder rebellion over climate change. At the company's annual meeting in Dallas, a majority of voting shares gave orders to the global energy giant for the corporation to stick to the Paris climate rules, regardless of what any country decides. The shareholder resolution notes other major oil companies have already endorsed and are following the Paris Agreement. Secretary of Veterans Affairs Dr. David Shulkin says the VA is still in critical condition despite efforts to reduce wait times for medical appointments. EWTN News Nightly's Mark Irons questioned him about the problem of veteran suicide.
Depression and traumatic stress tend to isolate people. They tend to withdraw because of their condition. And those are the ones that we worry the most about, which is why we say suicide is everybody's responsibility.
Shulkin says suicide prevention is the VA's top priority, and the VA has set up a crisis hotline for veterans. Pope Francis condemns the brutal suicide bomb that tore through a busy neighborhood in Kabul, Afghanistan Wednesday, killing 90 and wounding hundreds. The Holy Father offering his prayers for the victims and for peace in the country. No group has yet claimed responsibility. Ahead of Pentecost Sunday, Pope Francis says we must be like the Holy Spirit and be defenders and consolers of those in need. As Alan Holdren reports from Rome, thousands of charismatic Catholics are there in the Eternal City this week for their annual global gathering.
This is all culminating in a prayer vigil that's going to be taking place at this big field in the very center of Rome called the Circus Maximus. Pope Francis is going to be participating in that event. He'll also be leading Mass, presiding over Mass for Pentecost Sunday. We expect thousands of people present for that Mass on Sunday.
Alan Holdren, Rome Bureau Chief for EWTN's Catholic News Agency. The newly elected South Korean president is asking Pope Francis to help in calming the tensions between North and South Korea. President Moon Jae-in sent a special envoy to the Vatican to discuss with the Holy See mediation efforts between the two Koreas. The president stressed that even though both nations are threatening military conflict, they must be open to peaceful dialogue. The Pope seems very interested, stretching what was supposed to be a short visit into a 45-minute meeting. More controversy erupts late last night in the House Intelligence Committee's probe of potential Russian involvement in the 2016 presidential election. Representative Devin Nunes, without the approval of the committee, issued 7 subpoenas, even though in April he said he would recuse himself from the probe. 4 of the subpoenas are related directly to Russian meddling allegations, the subject of ongoing probes from the Senate Intelligence Committee as well as the FBI. Congressional investigators announced new evidence. Attorney General Jeff Sessions may have had an additional undisclosed private meeting with Russia's ambassador during the 2016 presidential campaign. No comment from the Justice Department. The special counsel overseeing an investigation into possible Russian coordination with the Trump campaign approves former FBI Director James Comey to testify before a Senate committee. The House Intelligence Committee, meanwhile, says it is issuing subpoenas for President Trump's former national security advisor and his personal lawyer, as well as their business as part of its investigation into possible Russian meddling. A Pennsylvania man arrested at a Washington hotel owned by President Trump Wednesday after police, acting on a tip, found a rifle, pistol, and ammunition in his car. 43-year-old Brian Moles was taken into custody for questioning, but D.C. police say there was not enough evidence to make an arrest. The Knights of Columbus launch a new ad campaign, raising awareness and funds for Christians who are facing increased pressure in the Middle East.
Wake up and take action. Pray for my people, help my people, and save my people.
That's Father Douglas Bazzi, who was abducted, tortured, and nearly killed by an Islamic terrorist group in Iraq. In sports this morning, the Pittsburgh Penguins take a 2-0 lead over the Nashville Predators in the Stanley Cup Finals. A 3-goal outburst in the third period leads the Penguins to a big win, 4-1. Max Scherzer pitches a complete game, leading the Washington Nationals to a 3-1 West Coast win over the San Francisco Giants. And Adam Jones homers. He drove in a total of 5 runs in this game as the Baltimore Orioles beat the New York Yankees 10-4. Baltimore took a 2 of 3 from the AL East leaders after coming in with a 7-game losing streak. We'll have more baseball coming up in the next half hour. Meanwhile, it's 10 after the hour. Gloria?
Excuse me, I was clearing my throat. Yes, I thought it was an interesting story of young love. This couple is in a hot air balloon, and What do you think happens? The young man proposes. Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful, beautiful.
And then the balloon crashes and goes down. And those people, I think, got a first taste of their vows, you know, till death do us part. But luckily, they survived and are very thrilled that they're still engaged. I was like, what a way to start off. Kind of you engage and the balloon goes down.
Preview of coming attractions.
I know. Like, that kind of makes you think twice. I wouldn't do a hot air balloon anyway.
I always have people with starstruck with love, and it's going to be great. And you say, well, there'll be a few curveballs. Well,
yeah. I know.
The balloon goes
down.
Exactly, definitely.
I mean, really. And then, you know, there's another story that I found pretty interesting about a Catholic farmer out of East Lansing. Well, he wants to participate in the farmer's market in East Lansing. He's a Catholic farmer out of Charlotte, Michigan. But the city has ousted his family business from the local farmer's market. Mind you, he's been doing business there since 2010. But because city officials learned that the farmer believes marriage is a union of one man and one woman, they ousted him from being able to participate in the farmer's market. Now, this is a Catholic farmer. I don't think, it's kind of shocking that this is happening.
No, it's everywhere. And then you sit there and say, okay, a farmer's market where people are buying their fruits and vegetables, but you can't believe in marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, so at least get him off Facebook or, you know. Yeah. The other thing, too, is I think more and more with, you know, people are going organic and healthy, you know.
Right.
Just set up an alternative farmer's market and don't put anything on Facebook.
But he's not being free to be himself. I mean, he's a Catholic man. These beliefs in one man, one woman marriage are not extreme. And even if they were, he's willing to sell his produce to whoever buys it.
Right.
You know, so it's
and then we were
odd.
Always talking about this on the show. I mean, religious liberty and what this is doing, or the debate that's coming in our culture, if it's affecting a farmer's market, you know it's going everywhere.
Well, I think it's a taste of what's to come. But luckily, Alliance Defending Freedom has filed a lawsuit saying that the farmer's market is violating this farmer's constitutional rights and that he should be allowed to sell his produce. And the city said that they had gotten complaints about his Facebook post. Now, mind you, the Facebook post was from August 24th, 2016.
And what did it say?
They don't show what it says, but they basically, he posted something online about his beliefs again, saying he believes in, you know, the traditional definition of marriage, one man, one woman. It doesn't show what the Facebook post is, but it just says that he made it clear that he believes in one man, one woman marriage.
Well, it's like, you know, submitting people to the Nazis or the Gestapo or the communist officials. It's like, who's filing the complaint? And, you know, what's the legal standing that you can't have an opinion that we're going to suddenly make this an issue? I mean, this
Well,
is
the
ridiculous.
Alliance Defending Freedom has a good record in defending this kind of thing.
Absolutely,
so let's hope for the
best
here.
Well, I mean, is it such that he can't say, look, this is basic Christian belief.
Right.
You know, are we That's all going to be shut out of the marketplace? And it's not like he's saying I won't sell to people. He's saying I'll sell to anyone. This is what I believe. I'll sell my produce to anybody that wants to buy it.
And it's the same thing like the issue they had about the cake. Like, are you going to make a Muslim believer sell you bacon? Are you going to make, you know, Jewish people?
I knew you'd
people
bring up bacon.
Of course.
Right. You know, because then everybody would get it.
Right. Right. Or, you know, you're going to make people who are of Jewish faith, you know, to sell on the Sabbath. You know, I mean, first of all, yeah, you respect different traditions. I mean, we live our Christian faith. We witness to it. You live it in a natural way, you know. But, you know, a cake, some fruit, I mean, this is the point of ridiculousness, so I don't know if that's a word. But, you know, more and more it's going to come up in you know, legal battles and things like this. I mean, we're going to have to basically prove what the Constitution was meant to say from the beginning. This country was built on religious freedom, freedom of conscience, freedom of worship. So.
Okay, Brian, regarding your question as to what the Facebook post said, AP is reporting that his Facebook post said he would not allow gay couples to get married at his farm. And then of that.
That's his right.
Yeah. Yep. And then because of that, the farmer's market says vendors must follow the city's civil rights ordinance. Now, mind you, his farmer's market isn't even in the locale of East Lansing. It's in Charlotte, Michigan, which isn't subject to this local ordinance. So it's really kind of a stretch for them to say he's violating the ordinance. But he's willing to come to the farmer's market and sell to anybody who wants to buy his vegetables and produce, whatever it is he sells.
Right. If an atheist sells me corn, is that okay? I mean, come on.
I'm okay with that.
Right. Well, yeah. It's June, and this is the month of the Sacred Heart. And, of course, summer is now in full swing. And we're going to talk about fun summer activities next, Gloria.
Yes, we'll be talking with Elizabeth Ficicelli. She's my frequent fill-in, so we're glad to talk with her about what kind of Catholic activities we can do over the summer. Can camping be Catholic? We'll find out next, so stay tuned.
And we're celebrating my granddaughter Adeline's second birthday today, so we're going to get her a slip and slide. I want to see. I wonder if Elizabeth has anything Catholic she can add to that. Perhaps
put some holy water
baptism,
in there.
Baptism, yeah.
Yeah.
Really slippery. Yeah. Stay with us.
Catholic Heart, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
completely... As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Carry EWTN with you everywhere when you download the EWTN app. You can enjoy EWTN TV and radio live streams, shows on demands, prayers and devotionals, and the latest Catholic news. Visit EWTNapps.com today.
Hi, this is Dan Burke from the National Catholic Register.
Hello, this is Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
Balancing act, torn between work and family, marriage and kids, your needs and theirs. Find out more with More to Life, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, at 10 o'clock Eastern this morning on EWTN, the Global Catholic Radio Network. As you start your Thursday, June 1st, with Morning Glory at 17 after, our godly counsel, Father Bjorn Lundberg. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
On the line, we have Elizabeth Ficicelli. She's a mom, an author, and sometimes fill-in for me here on Morning Glory. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Gloria. And I guess we can say happy summer now that we're in June, right?
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah. I'm ready for it. So look, let me ask you something. There are a lot of activities we can do during the summer. And of course, I'm thinking of camping. And other than it being absolutely penitential, how can we make it, a Catholic experience?
Yeah, you know, you're right. There's a lot of things we can do. But, you know, this is the thing. As Catholic families, we don't have to reinvent the wheel here or reorganize all the plans we have on our busy summer schedules to have Catholic summer experiences with our loved ones. But we can capitalize on activities that we already love to do and we have on the calendar already and just give them what I'm calling a little Catholic twist. Mm. So you raise an idea, Gloria, like camping. So if your family is one that enjoys nature, you like to go camping, you like to go hiking, visiting zoos or parks. I mean, I think that covers most of us. Mm-hmm. So what we can do is we can draw in a discussion on someone like St. Francis of Assisi and talk about his great love for God's creation, the animals, the flowers, the stars, and yes, Gloria, even the bugs.
Right.
You know, but we tie in the saint and we can kind of have this fun lesson on our way to the zoo or the park or camping or whatever. Or mm-hmm. on a similar note, maybe your family loves to do sports. Maybe you do things like bike riding or softball, soccer, or baseball. So you can tie in a discussion on someone like Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. Mm-hmm. He was a young man. He was a great sports enthusiast. He loved mountain climbing in particular, but he's a great role model for young people. So just taking our normal outdoor activities and giving them this little twist by talking about a saint, bringing a saint
That's
into
a-
your into your discussion.
Well, I think that's a great idea. I'm thinking a lot of people probably also just watch sports on TV. I guess that would count for being able to talk about Blessed Pier Giorgio Fossati. But what do you think about Sunday Mass? I think people need to understand. I mean, yeah, it's summertime and you might be on vacation someplace, but obviously we don't take a vacation from our obligation. And really, I think hopefully a desire to attend Sunday Mass wherever you are. What would you say to people about the Sunday Mass and summer activities?
Yeah, we don't want to stop going to Mass because, you know, we're in a new season. No, we keep going to Mass. But, you know, and in summertime, we're in ordinary time. You know, Easter, you know, is now coming to an end for us now with Pentecost here. But there's still special feast days tucked into the warm months, such as the Feast of the Holy Trinity, Corpus Christi, the Transfiguration, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So maybe there's something you can do in honor of one of these summer feast days. For example, consider having your home enthroned in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Or another idea with Mass is, why not visit different parishes this summer in your diocese? So if you normally go to a large suburban parish, for example, well, try checking out a little rural parish or maybe an urban parish, or a parish that maybe you'll experience different ethnic backgrounds, or maybe a taste of our Eastern Rite Catholic churches and experience the Eastern spirituality of those parishes. So, you know, just go beyond your own parish, you know, take a couple of visits and expose your family to what's right in your own diocese.
Oh, that's a great idea. I know for us here in D.C., we have several Eastern Rite churches, and definitely you can go to Mass actually in different languages. It's the same Mass, but you can go here in Vietnamese, you can go in Spanish, just a lot in French, a lot of different places to go. Now, what about Catholic retreats and pilgrimages?
Yeah.
Are those,
yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think about, is that, you think that's a good thing as a family activity per se?
Well, doing something like some areas have designated places for retreats, either Catholic retreat centers, camp, even Catholic campgrounds, that kind of thing. For instance, in my state of Ohio, we have Catholic Family Land, and it's a great opportunity to both vacation and worship with others who are really enthused about their faith and their family. But you can take your family on a pilgrimage to visit, say, a shrine that's in your area. Maybe there's a convent or a monastery that permits visitors. Cathedrals and basilicas, those are great destinations. And as you're going to these places, you can be talking about the purpose of a pilgrimage. What is pilgrimage, you know? And because it's something we've done all our, you know, Catholic history and back into our, you know, Judaic history. Pilgrimages are this time where we're getting away from our normal routine and spending time with the Lord. So we can be teaching about that concept. And it just could be a simple day trip to probably a beautiful place in our area where we can just spend time with the Lord as a family.
That's a great idea. Now, I'm just curious, is there a way we could turn driving into a Catholic because I'm just thinking, you drive to these places or you're just doing things during the summer and you're always going to find yourself in the car with the family. Is there a way we can get some extra points here and make that Catholic?
Yeah, I think we all spend time in the car, and summer, I think we spend more time than ever in the car going to these different places. So as your family is driving, visiting friends or visiting relatives or attending some event somewhere, use that time. One thing you can do certainly is pray the rosary together as a family. Or I'm a big advocate of tuning into Catholic radio because you'd be surprised at how much you can learn on Catholic radio. And it often will spark some interesting conversation with family members. Kids listen. You know, they may kind of balk in the beginning, but they will start to listen and they will engage. So make use of even our simple driving time.
You know, that's a great idea. Sean here in the studio held up a sign and said, pray for light traffic. One of the things we do, actually we've done as a family, is after we get to we're getting close to our location, when we're looking for a parking spot, we'll say, St. Boniface, please help us find a parking space here and in heaven. Amen. And he always delivers. So yep. I hope I get that last parking spot in heaven thanks to St. Boniface, too.
His name is Boniface and not Face.
We say Boniface. I'm from the South. We'll drag out that last syllable. Boniface, ambulance.
I say Bonifaci. I'm Italian.
There you go.
Find me a parking plot.
So, Elizabeth, we're not talking about taking the fun out of summer here. We're just talking about adding to it in a Catholic way, right?
Right. And these things, we don't have to even go anywhere to do this. I mean, right at home, right at our home, first of all, you can find out if there's any, there may be programs right in place right where you live, Vacation Bible School or teen programs, you know, that are organized by your youth group. But at home, you know, if you have pizza movie nights during the summer, capitalize on that. Once in a while, put in a good Christian family film in the mix. It doesn't have to be, you don't want to overdo it and make your kids crazy. But once in a while, you know, throw one of those in. Or playing games as a family, you know, get away from the electronics and play a board game. And again, it doesn't have to be Bible trivia. You know, you don't have to hit them over the head, although that can be really fun. I mean, not hitting them over their head, you know, learning about the Bible.
It can be fun, too.
It's fun on the day, right? You know, but or just, you know, play a family game in the backyard, but just get out and do. And another idea that comes to me is a lot of times in the summer we do projects, right? We want to get projects done inside the house, outside the house. So if you have a garage or a basement or a playroom, you need it organized, you need it cleaned out, do it as a family. Take the donations to a homeless shelter, you know, or similar organization. That's a work of mercy. So that's a great little Catholic lesson. Or beautify your yard. Put a little Mary garden in or a sacred space that people can go and pray and meditate. So.
Well, those are all great ideas, Elizabeth. Do you have, can we visit your website to see this list of how we can make these activities Catholic?
Sure. All my stuff is on my website, elizabethficicelli.com, and I invite your listeners to check that out for my reading, my speaking, and my media work.
We will do that. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for joining Morning Glory today.
Have a great summer.
You too.
All right, it's 25 after the hour, and Father is going to lead us on a little spiritual journey into this month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Pope John Paul, St. John Paul the Great, talks about the fact that the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the source of life, that it's the means of victory over death, and that it's the starting point of holiness for each one of us. And the Church dedicates the month of June to the Sacred Heart. And St. John Paul is our patron at my high school, tells us that the heart of the Lord Jesus teaches us how to learn the love of God and understanding how to begin again. You know, that when we face our weaknesses or the challenges in the world or our brokenness, we can often kind of navel gaze. The saint, Pope John Paul didn't say that, the saint, but we can kind of be trapped on the in the rut of our life thinking, I'm never going to improve or things are always going to get worse or how I have any hope. And the heart of Christ is the source of everything. That on the cross, in his suffering and in redeeming us and then rising from the dead, the Lord shows us, number one, that he rose wounded. So this is amazing. His wounds are now sources of grace and life for us. But also, too, that in the heart of Christ is his infinite source of strength, of healing, of hope, of virtue, of beginning again, of new victories, of reparation. And so at Fatima, Our Lady talked about so much about making reparation. And as Elizabeth was pointing out, in the summertime, people tend to kind of check out from church. A lot of times in a parish, you'll see that people seem to, the school year ends and we go on vacation, we disappear until August and then we come back again. But precisely in this time when we want to recharge our batteries and we go to the beach, when we want to go on vacation and you don't want to kill each other in the car or at the hotel or wherever you're at, this is really when we need to be plugged into the Lord. You know, we want to disengage from the busyness of life and recreate, but being plugged into the Lord through Mass, through devotions, through Eucharistic adoration, through devotion to Our Lady, all these things bring us back to this wellspring of the Sacred Heart. So it's really important that we pay attention that why the Church highlights June as the month of the Sacred Heart. And as St. John Paul says, we can cry out with the Samaritan woman, give us this water of life that leads us to eternal life, which is always flowing to us from the Sacred Heart.
All right. Father Bjorn Lundberg, our godly counsel, is chaplain at St. John Paul the Great Catholic High School in Dumfries, Virginia. And Gloria, Jason writes in response to your question or your prayer to St. Boniface. He said, my wife uses this one. Hail Mary, full of grace, help me find a parking space.
Yep, I've heard that one. I've heard that one,
too. It works.
Too.
Yep.
And then continue the rosary while you're at it. There you go.
Yeah.
While you're circling the block. We have Olivia Enos with the Heritage Foundation with us next.
Catholic from the... Because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
CNA is the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news source that brings blogs, stories, opinions, and more to your fingertips. For the latest Catholic news, visit CatholicNewsAgency.com, an online service from EWTN News.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses
48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
This is Bishop John Brungardt of the Diocese of Dodge City.
This is Colin Donovan, Vice President for Theology.
This is Father Larry Richards, host of Open Line Thursday. Thanks for listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
It is half past the hour on Thursday, June the 1st, mid-60s and partly sunny skies in our nation's capital. The view from Guadalupe Studios at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. These long days of summer are with us, and we're grateful that you're joining us for Morning Glory. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
We have Sean Pearson for Elisa Murphy as our producer today, and our godly counsel is Father Bjorn Lundberg. Father, would you help us start the half hour in prayer?
Yes. Every day we should do a morning offering, and this is a simple and beautiful one. All for thee, most sacred heart of Jesus. Sacred heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in thee. Most sacred heart of Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner.
June, of course, the month of the Sacred Heart. Gloria, what's your musing about today?
Well, a listener, Monica Lex, sent me in an article about the HHS mandate and how some Catholics are basically up in arms saying that they want these the contraception to be made available to women. And she wants me to address, you know, why that's problematic from a Catholic point of view. So that's what I'm going to talk about during my musing.
And Father Bjorn will talk about making new beginnings in just a little bit as well. In the meantime, in our news now at 31 after the hour, President Donald Trump sends signals he plans to pull out of the 2015 Paris Agreement on climate change. He says this issue is deeply dividing his administration.
I'm hearing from a lot of people, both ways, both ways, believe me.
Tech giant Elon Musk says he will leave the president's advisory board on business if the U.S. pulls out of the agreement. Democrats are sharply critical, including Senator Kamala Harris.
It is highly irresponsible of this administration to pull out of those accords. All people need clean air to breathe. All people need to be able to drink clean water.
The president made his announcement after welcoming Vietnam's prime minister to the White House on Wednesday. We welcome Olivia Enos of the Heritage Foundation to talk more about that visit and also the tensions in between North and South Korea. Olivia, good morning. Welcome to Morning Glory.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Do you believe that during the meeting between President Trump and the Vietnamese prime minister that human rights were discussed?
The main focus of the meeting between the Vietnamese prime minister and Donald Trump was definitely more on economic deals. They, for example, signed business deals worth $8 billion that are supposed to support at least 23,000 American jobs. However, human rights was not a huge focus, despite the fact that many congressional individuals, including Representative Chris Smith, as well as many NGOs, were calling upon President Trump to focus on human rights issues, especially religious freedom.
When does human rights enter into economic discussions? I mean, aren't we supposed to be doing business with companies or countries, I should say, that respect the right of the human being rather than just ignoring the fact that there are human rights violations?
Absolutely. If you're going to have a comprehensive relationship with any country, it is essential that it not just be focused on military ties or just on economic ties. It's essential that you look at the country and the partnership as a whole. And while the visit definitely reaffirmed the importance of U.S.-Vietnam relations, it didn't address the critical human rights issues that are occurring there. Their religious freedom violations, for example, are so severe that the U.S. Commission on International International Religious Freedom recommends that Vietnam be listed as a country of particular concern. And yet it at least appears on its face that these issues didn't come up. Beyond that, many outside groups were pressing President Trump to raise the issue of the over 100 political prisoners that Vietnam currently holds. And, you know, while that may have come up in back channels, it's not apparent that that was an issue that was raised during the visit.
Shifting gears just a little bit, Olivia, as tensions continue to rise between North and South Korea and between North Korea and the U.S., where do you see this going and what do you suggest the administration should be doing about it?
Well, President Trump has made clear that North Korea is going to be a foreign policy priority and especially a priority in Asia. Unfortunately, most of the language has focused on the concerns over missile and nuclear programs rather than focusing on the human rights abuse. But in 2014, the United Nations found that North Korea may be guilty of committing crimes against humanity. And even still today, there are an estimated 80,000 to 120,000 individuals in prison camps. If Trump wants to have a holistic policy toward North Korea, he has to recognize that the Kim regime views human rights abuse as a means of maintaining its power, and in fact often uses human rights abuse, for example, by depriving the people of food, to divert its funding and its resources toward its nuclear and missile program rather than respecting the rights of the North Korean people.
That is unthinkable. And certainly we appreciate the inside information from human rights expert Olivia Enos with the Heritage Foundation. Thanks for joining us this morning, Olivia.
Thank you for having me.
Secretary of Veterans Affairs Dr. David Shulkin says the VA is still in critical condition despite efforts to reduce wait times for medical appointments by veterans. EWTN News Nightly's Mark Irons questioned Shulkin about the problem of veteran suicides.
Depression and traumatic stress tend to isolate people. They tend to withdraw because of their condition. And those are the ones that we worry the most about, which is why we say suicide is everybody's responsibility.
Dr. Shulkin says suicide prevention is the top priority, and the VA has set up a crisis hotline for veterans. Pope Francis condemns the brutal suicide bombing that tore through a busy neighborhood in Kabul, Afghanistan, Wednesday. 90 people died. Hundreds were wounded. The Holy Father offering prayers for the victims and for peace in the country. Ahead of Pentecost this Sunday, charismatic Catholics are gathered in Rome. Alan Holdren reports.
This is all culminating in a prayer vigil that's going to be taking place at this big field in the very center of Rome called the Circus Maximus. Pope Francis is going to be participating in that event. He'll also be leading Mass, presiding over Mass for Pentecost Sunday. We expect thousands of people present for that Mass on Sunday.
Alan Holdren, Rome Bureau Chief for EWTN's Catholic News Agency. And the Knights of Columbus launch a new ad campaign to raise awareness and funds for Christians facing increased pressure and persecution in the Middle East.
Wake up. Take action. Pray for my people, help my people, and save my people.
The voice of Father Douglas Bassi, who was abducted, tortured, and nearly killed by Islamic extremists in Iraq. 38 after the hour now, as we turn to sports, Logan Morrison and Derek Norris homer in a three-run 10th inning, capping a late Tampa Bay comeback as the Rays beat the Texas Rangers 7-5. Devin Travis hit a tie-breaking two-run home run in the 7th inning. Luke Mayle also hit a two-run shot, and Toronto beat the Cincinnati Reds 5-4. Dexter Fowler hit a tie-breaking homer in the 8th inning to back Carlos Martinez and give the St. Louis Cardinals a 2-1 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Milwaukee Brewers beat the Mets 7-1 for just their third win in 10 games. The Tigers hold off Kansas City 6-5. Royal starter Ian Kennedy, 0-5, walked the bases loaded before giving up the doubles on consecutive pitches. And George Springer reached base in all six plate appearances, hitting two of Houston's season-high six home runs, leading the Astros to their seventh straight victory, 17-6. Over the Minnesota Twins, the Oakland A's beat the Cleveland Indians 3-1. The Padres beat the Cubs 2-1. And the Miami Marlins complete their first series sweep of the season, beating woeful Philadelphia 10-2. At 21 before the hour now, here is Gloria Purvis with her Morning Gloria Musings.
So thank you, Monica Leck, for sending me this article and asking for someone to please respond to why these are not properly Catholic positions. So basically, Sister Simone Campbell, who's 71 years old, and she's the executive director of Network, has given public statements to the press about the problem she sees with religious employees being exempted from providing the artificial birth control that the HHS mandate set forward. Let me remind everybody that it's not just artificial birth control. It's also sterilization and abortion-inducing drugs. And most famously, people remember that some other religious sisters, the Little Sisters of the Poor, were taken all the way to the Supreme Court by the last administration because they're like, we cannot provide these things because they are morally objectionable. And as Catholics know, we understand the church's teaching as to why abortion's wrong, I should hope, why sterilization is wrong, and why anything that interferes with the procreative, natural procreative aspect of sexual intercourse is problematic for us as Catholics. And so the sisters rightfully say, we don't want any part of that. And then the government said, well, we'll take over your insurance plan, just sign here, giving us permission. And they're like, no, we will not do that. That still requires us to assent to the government's view, and we're not going to do that. Well, Sister Simone Campbell says that people should be allowed to act according to their well-formed conscience. I would agree. I agree. But the key is well-formed. That means a conscience is ordered toward the truth. And I would say here that the Little Sisters of the Poor were trying to act according to their conscience. And that's what all the religious employers were saying. We want to be able to act according to our conscience. And the government is saying, no, you have to act according to our definition of religion, which is a problem. Sister Simone Campbell also goes on to say that she doesn't think corporations should have freedom of religion. Well, the problem with that is that corporations like the New York Times also have freedom of the press, freedom of speech, which is why they can print these stories and things like that. Same thing for these companies. We don't cease being people just because we own a business. And because we own a business, it doesn't mean that we then need to cede our First Amendment rights to freedom of religion. So that makes no sense to me either. And also, she says something that as if it's healthcare and these women are being completely denied these things because their employers won't provide it. Well, that's nonsensical. What do people do before the mandate? Everybody knows artificial birth control is ubiquitous and rather cheap. And it's not like by us exercising our conscience to say we don't want to be involved, that all of a sudden every drugstore in the country somehow doesn't carry these things that these women want. So it's kind of ridiculous. And it also is silly that they even call it health care. Even the Preventive Care Task Force, on which the government relies for expert advice, has never listed contraception as recommended preventive care. Besides the fact that these are morally objectionable things that we don't want to be involved in, they also are actually harmful to women's health. Artificial birth control is listed as a carcinogen, according to the World Health Organization. And so Sister Simone Campbell may put a Catholic face on it, but what she's saying doesn't square up with what we believe as Catholics. And so, Monica, I hope this helps and hope this is what you wanted to hear. But thank you for writing in and giving me an opportunity to respond to some of the erroneous things that Sister Simone Campbell and Catholics for Choice are putting out there.
Thank you, Gloria, for Morning Gloria Musings, heard each morning at this time on Morning Glory. This is June the 1st, Thursday, and Father is going to talk with us this morning about new beginnings.
Yeah, I wanted to go keep preaching, sister.
Nice.
Because ultimately what this is all about, this battle in our culture and the battle with the government and religious liberty, is about the enemy's plan to destroy our hope. He wants to destroy family life. He wants to destroy new generations. He wants to reject the gifts of God that God wants to send into the world. And the month of the Sacred Heart in June is a time of new beginnings. We see people graduating from school. We see people getting married. We see confirmations. We see all kinds of exciting things. And it's great because it reminds us that God has hardwired us so that even if we don't know him, even if we don't have the faith, that we love to see new starts. We love to see a new couple go down the aisle. We love to see kids go off to college. We love to see a baby come into the world because it's a sign of hope, and it's a sign that the world will continue going on and the best of our humanity continues. And that's where God knows even if we reject him, he wants a plan for goodness to be hardwired into us. But this is why the faith is so much, you know, I'm so stupid to say this, so limiting. What a huge gift. We're body and soul because God made us for eternal life. And when we were baptized, the gift of that seed of hope was planted within us, because you're going to fail in your marriage. You're going to fail in your vocation. You're going to fail at school. You're going to fail in life. You're going to fall down. But we can begin again, not only because God's made us that way to survive, but also with baptism, the seed of hope is always there, because we can turn to the cross. We can receive forgiveness. Jesus is walking with us in disguise, like on the road to Emmaus with the disciples, always accompanying us, inspiring us, setting our hearts on fire with the fire of his heart, so that with his grace and his love, we can always begin again. Every day is a new beginning, and this is a month to meditate on that.
Well, it's a new beginning, and we're grateful that you're making that beginning of June and the beginning of this day, the Feast of St. Justin Martyr, with us on Morning Glory. Tell us a little bit about this memorial, Father.
St. Justin Martyr was a defender of the doctrines of the faith. He was brought before, you know, the Roman officials, you know, basically being told, you need to be like everybody else and, you know, follow the mandate. You've got to follow the government policy, and you've got to worship what we tell you to worship. He says, no, no, no. And they, you know, they insulted him. You can't really tell me you believe this stuff. And absolutely he believed it, and he was willing to die for it.
Mm.
And only either insanity or true love is going to cause you to die for something.
Amen.
And you have a good friend of yours next.
Yeah, I'm really excited because Father Bresnahan, who's the chaplain, my friend and me from Ireton, Bishop Ireton High School, is going to be up next talking about youth and parish ministry.
Stay with us.
Frenemy.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Have you heard about Church Pop? It's the newest member of the EWTN family, with new online Christian content that's fun and inspiring every day. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com.
The EWTN Warriors Rosary is a fitting tribute to all the spiritual warriors who have stood by us over the years. Handcrafted, each rosary is a unique creation. Get yours today. Visit EWTNRC.com.
On the next Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio.
We'll keep you closely connected to the faith with the latest from Rome, the front lines of the pro-life movement, and we'll also take a look at other crucial issues facing you and your family in our one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
Catholic Connection, weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Raymond Arroyo.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to the audience, my relationship with Mother Angelica, and her teaching me that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else. That ease, that humor, that warmth, she gave me that, and that's what I try to impart and make a part of every interview we do on the world over.
The world over, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This is Bishop William Medley of the Diocese of Owensboro.
This is Al Cresta, host of Cresta in the Afternoon.
Hi, I'm Archbishop William Laurie, the Archbishop of Baltimore, and you're listening to EWTN Radio.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory at EWTN.com.
Stay tuned to EWTN Radio for Holy Mass, live from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel with Father Mark, our celebrant, on most of these EWTN affiliates. It's the 1st of June, the Feast of St. Justin Martyr. Good to have you with us. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
And our godly council, the chaplain of the John Paul the Great Catholic High School, Father Bjorn Lundberg.
I am thrilled because my frenemy, Father Ed Bresnahan from our rival high school, Bishop Ireton in Alexandria, is on the phone with us. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Father. Good to hear your voices today.
For all those who don't know, Father Bresnahan and I are good friends, and we were assigned together at St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception in Fredericksburg.
Mm.
And then in 2012, I was shipped off to John Paul the Great in Dumfries. And the next year, Father Bresnahan was sent up to Bishop Ireton here in Old Town near the nation's capital. And so, Father, talk about your work. You have a background, for those who don't know you, with Net Ministry. You went to University of Dallas.
Mm.
You've been a parish priest, and now you're in a high school. So tell us a little bit about your take on working in a parish, working with youth, and the show is yours.
Sure. Well, that's a wonderful thing. And thank you so much, Glory, for having me on. And Father, good to hear your voice again. And I mean, it's pretty amazing when you think about all the different people that God places in our lives each and every day. In my work, specifically, it's kind of incredible. I've got 800 students now, and my goodness, it's just a matter of really trying to figure out how to bring Christ to them and trying to help feed really a hunger that the culture doesn't provide, and helping kind of encourage people in a way to think about Christ, to think about God in a way that maybe they haven't before.
A lot of people,
and frankly, I would just say, like, the work, it's really kind of amazing to see how God leads people to different places. I know he led me through Net Ministries in the back for a year. I traveled around the country offering retreats to people. And then when I started to actually listen to what God was trying to tell me, you want me to be a priest? Okay. How do I do that? It's amazing how each individual moment leads you to where you are.
And your work at the high school. So you teach, you help run retreats, you're hearing confessions, you're saying mass. On the weekends, you're a relief pitcher helping out in different parishes around the diocese. You know, you get to see people at all these different stages. Any particular aspects from your network or the work at Ireton, at BI, that you have found about working with young people and families, or kind of a theme that comes up to you?
I think sometimes it's just a matter of encouragement. I think sometimes students that are excited about their faith sometimes feel like they might be all alone. Sometimes the way that they feel the pressures of society, whether, you know, even the good things, like the pressure to succeed, the pressure to get into a good college, or the pressure to do all of those things, sometimes it creates a lot of distractions. They're so busy. How do I have time for what you're asking of me, Father? And so I think a lot of what I do is really just encouragement, that the struggles that people have, that they're not alone, that they've always, I mean, certainly they've always had our Lord, but I mean, they have a beautiful network and a beautiful community of believers that are with them. So, you know, helping to encourage them, especially helping them to see the value and the beauty of the sacraments, helping them to take some time for quiet in such a noisy environment. So I would think that's kind of the theme that comes. And also for the other side, those are the kids that are excited about their faith. Sometimes helping kids kind of get over apathy, you know, I think sometimes a feeling like when you ask a student, say, hey, what do you like to do? And they sometimes will answer with stuff. You know? Hey, what are your favorite things to do? Like hang out with my friends. You know, helping people kind of overcome apathy and get excited about living. You know,
so Father, I have to ask, because Lourdes isn't quite a teenager yet. Thank you, Jesus. But how might parents? What advice would you give to parents specifically that we could, you know, that we could help our kids be or have a changed attitude or get over this apathy? What kind of advice would you give us?
Well, I mean, I always tell people, I think St. John Bosco says it best, if you love what they love, they will love what you love. So really diving in to their lives, being invested, and more than just, you know, if they give you the, you know, what do you like to do? Stuff, you know, press it. Asking open-ended questions and diving into going a little deeper. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of it, but also challenging them, praying as a family. They respond, at least what I've noticed, is that people tend to respond to genuine authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And so genuine authenticity, being you and being as good of you as you can be. But I mean, kind of even deeper, it's more like being able, they should be able to see that you love Christ, and that the way that you radiate joy, the way that you, you know, the way that what brings you that joy every morning is knowing that you have this deep relationship with Christ, this deep relationship with his church. And so when kids dive into these things, like, why do they want to be astronauts? Why do they want to be, why do they want to be professional sports players? Because these people radiate a joy about what they're doing and what they're about. So yeah. When we radiate that kind of joy, people are intrigued. They say, hey, that seems pretty interesting. What are you doing over there?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Father. I mean, I wonder, too, how we might, as parishioners, draw young people more into our parish, into a more active role.
Sometimes it's a personal invitation. I noticed that, you know, sending out blanket emails or bulletins or things like that, like, they might get read, like, once in a while, but really reaching out, encouraging, getting, you know, personal invitation. Hey, I think you'd be really good for this. Hey, do you like this kind of a thing? Come see what we're doing this weekend.
Mm.
So I think sometimes a personal invitation and building a friendship.
Well, I'm hearing, Father, that what you're basically saying is parents can't give what they don't have. And so we got to make sure we check our relationship with the Lord. There's one thing that I always, when I talk to other parents that I laugh about, I was like, now how are you going to tell your kids one thing and then you playing with the devil? Don't you know he's not satisfied with just you? He's going to kick in the front door and try to get everybody in the household. So you can't tell your kids to live one way and you live another. You know what I mean?
I love that, Gloria. That's so true. The devil hates unity. Mm-hmm. The devil hates unity. He's always working against those things that bring people together. That's why he's always going after the priesthood, the Eucharist, the mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. He's always going after those things that bring us together and make us a community of faith.
Father, I hope that you can be back on Morning Glory again. It's great to hear your voice, even if you're not in person right now. And I know you're doing awesome work over there at BI, and all your fans here in the Northern Virginia area loving hearing you online, on air. And I hope that in the future you can be a returning guest here on Morning Glory. And thanks for taking time with us today.
Oh, I'd love to. Thanks for having me on, and God bless you all.
And you too, Father. Thank you. It's 6 minutes till, just ahead of Father Bjorn and today's gospel. John writes, for our family, Mass in a new city during vacation is a must. Not only do we get to go to see another church, but it helps us reinforce how universal Mass and our church family really is. Plus, if we run into a pancake breakfast, it's a bonus.
Bonus.
Yeah, and one listener suggests that you debate Sister Simone, Gloria.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Right here on EWTN.
Well, I wouldn't want to give her another platform to say anything, but you know what? You never know. Let's see what God has planned.
All right, Father, take us through today's gospel where Jesus tells us that he is praying for each of us, those who believe in the word.
Right. I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word so that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So our mission is part of his mission. Jesus, in this month of the Sacred Heart again, has a place in his heart for every person on earth, every person who's ever been born, every person who's ever been conceived, and every person who will come into the world. And our job as part of his team is to do that inspiring message of Father Bresnahan, to invite people to be that kind of one-on-one connection, because you can't give, as Gloria pointed out, what we don't have. If we don't know the love mm-hmm. of the Father in our life, and if we don't know that we've been called to glory and that the Sacred Heart is an infinite source of our glory, our holiness, our sanctification, our victory, then we're certainly not going to sell that to other people. But once we begin to be changed by that, once we know that every day is a new beginning, that the Lord has confidence in us, that he has set us free, then we're going to want to share that with all those around us, even during vacation.
Let's radiate that love today on this June 1st, Thursday morning. Father Bjorn Lundberg, thanks so much for being part of our Morning Glory team.
Great to be with you.
Mm-hmm. Look forward to having you back next Thursday. Gloria, we'll see you tomorrow on Friday.
Yeah, bright and early. And we'll be talking with Marjorie Dannenfelser, who will also be previewing EWTN's Pro-Life Weekly, which comes on tomorrow night at 11 p.m.
And live from Switzerland, Father Dominic Legg, where he's studying with the Dominican Priory over there. That will be hope that you will join us then and encourage you to join us now as we pray together, giving glory to God with the universal prayer, glory be to the Father,
and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a blessed Thursday, and we'll talk with you in the morning here on EWTN.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.